This is North Place Church, Durban. We hope as you listen today that you would experience Christ, community and compassion. To learn more about us, visit our website at northplacechurch.co.za.
Today, we're going to finish this series by talking about creating a culture of honor in your home and in your relationships. This subject of honor and a culture of honor, to be quite honest with you, is just as complex as any of the other topics that we have considered during this series. We are taught from childhood what behaviors or actions or expectations exist within our home and within our culture of what it means to honor somebody or to give and receive honor. And that's wonderful. The problem is sometimes our cultural expectations of honor, giving and receiving honor, don't necessarily line up with what the Bible teaches about giving and receiving honor. And so when we consider this subject of honor, we need to consider it from a biblical perspective. Just as an example, I can tell you, as a person who was born and raised in another country than South Africa, I can't tell you how many times I have been and felt like a complete idiot as it relates to the honor culture or the code of honor that exists within South Africa. I'll never forget just being a foreigner in a foreign land. Desiree and I had not moved to, we had moved to Swaziland and hadn't lived there for very long and had a reason that we needed to go visit the U.S. consulate. And at the time, the U.S. consulate was in the main bank building in Swaziland. And so we went in the main bank building in Swaziland, and the U.S. consulate at the time was on the 8th floor. And we went into the main bank building, and you had to go through security and do all these things. And then you had to wait on the bottom floor before they gave you an elevator pass to go up to the 8th floor. And we were sitting in the lobby, and I was wearing a hat, just a baseball hat. That's a common thing that people do where I'm from. It was no big deal. And I'm sitting there wearing a hat, and this old Swazi man comes walking up to me and just rips the hat off my head. I was like, what just happened? Now, I'm a brand new, fresh missionary there, so I have to, you know, I have to be on my best behavior, because where I'm from, somebody comes up grabbing you, you don't respond very well to that. Old or not, you just don't come grabbing people and their stuff. And so everything inside of me is like wanting to respond and react. But in his culture and in that particular place, especially because it was a government building, I was dishonoring the government of Eswatini. I was dishonoring the culture by wearing a hat in the building. And as a older Swazi man, he was a guardian of culture and a guardian of honor. I can tell you things like that have happened to me so many times. We hadn't moved to South Africa for very long, and I was going to meet a friend at a coffee shop, and it was a busy day for me. I had a lot of meetings, and I was learning about Durban culture a lot in those days. And my friend was about 15 minutes late. He was about 15 minutes late to coffee, and my schedule was chock full that day. I knew I had a lot of meetings, and so I was ready to get down to business. And my friend came walking up to the coffee shop, and it was one of those coffee shops where it was Mug and Bean right over here at the Crescent. And he came up walking up. I was sitting outside, and he walks up, sees me, walks up and orders his coffee. And I just sat there because I'm already, you know, he's late. I'm annoyed because he's 15 minutes late, and I'm waiting. I'm ready to get down to business. And he comes over to the table, and we begin to talk. And one of the reasons I was meeting him was because I was wanting to learn about culture here and what I was doing right and what I was doing wrong. And my friend sits down, and we start talking, and I ask him this question. And he said, well, to be honest with you, whenever somebody comes to meet you, you're supposed to get up and go and greet them. And I'm like, dude, we're buddies, we're friends, we're on a schedule here. He goes, no, but that's what you do to honor somebody. I've messed up so many times. And wherever you go in the world, I could tell you stories about China, Romania, other places where I messed up. Wherever you go in the world, there's always an honor code. There's always things within the culture that you do and you do not do as it relates to honor. And it's different everywhere you go. But as followers of Jesus, and all of those things are wonderful and great and grand. But as followers of Jesus Christ, we need to make sure that we understand what the Bible teaches about honor, especially in our homes and in our relationships, especially in a place like Durban where we have multiple cultures. Hello. I mean, just look around the room this morning where we have multiple cultures and we all do it a little bit differently. And I wonder how many times in our family, and I'm talking about the broader family, and some of us have blended cultural families, and in the family of the body of Christ, I wonder how many times we get offended or upset or we don't understand each other because we're holding each other accountable to our individual honor codes instead of holding each other accountable to biblical honor codes. What I would say to you today is that as followers of Jesus Christ, as much as within our homes and as much within our individual cultures, we may have our own honor codes within the body of Christ, we have to learn what the Bible says about honor and we have to live it out. You see, I want you to understand today that biblically speaking, the heart that honors, the way the Bible talks about honor, the heart that honors seeks to value, appreciate, esteem, and show favor to the other person. God is very concerned about honor. And I could read countless passages of scripture where the subject is discussed. I can show you lots of places where God dealt with honor and where God taught his people to walk in honor. I can also show you several places in scripture where God himself, the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, where the Godhead demonstrated and walked in honor, because remember, they were walking in perfect relationship with one another. I want to use one example today to sort of illustrate for you how God himself demonstrated honor. And it's a passage of scripture that's about Jesus Christ. It's found in John chapter 19, verses 25 through 27. I want us to look at this very quickly because it shows us a little bit about honor and how honor works in the kingdom of God and some confusion that can exist in our own culture versus the culture of the kingdom of God. Let me read this to you. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, "Woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, he said, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. This little example from the story of Jesus when he was on the cross illustrates for us that Jesus understood the honor culture that he was in. Not only did he understand it, but he demonstrated it and he lived it out. See, In his culture, the firstborn male son was responsible for taking care of the mother and the father as they got older. And especially if the father passed away, it was the responsibility of the eldest son to make sure that the mother was taken care of. In the case of Jesus, at this point, he was going to the cross. He knew he was going to die on the cross. And to make sure that his mother was taken care of, he said to his disciple, he said to John, "I want you to make sure that my mother is taken care of. She's now your mother. You are now her son." Jesus understood that he had a responsibility to take care of his mother. But I want you to see something this morning, because it isn't always as cut and dry as we think it is. You see, this passage gives us this beautiful picture into the heart of God. but it also brings careful balance to this subject of honor. Because as I have explained to you, honor in the kingdom of God doesn't necessarily look like honor in our culture. You see, living with honor in the kingdom of God does not excuse us from being obedient to the call of God. Many of us have been taught to believe that it is our responsibility to take care of our family, and that everything comes before taking care of our family. Hello? Hello? Am I alone? Come on now. Thank you. I'm so grateful one person is with me back here. Many of us have been held in guilt and condemnation because we have been taught that our first responsibility, our primary responsibility, is to take care of our family first. Yet in the kingdom of God, God calls us to something different. Jesus himself demonstrated the ability not just to honor his family, but also to honor the call of God on his life. You see, Jesus, according to his culture, he was giving up his life on the cross for you and I. And by doing so, he was positioning himself to not take care of his mother. If he was to have followed strictly the honor code of his culture, he would have not gone to the cross. He certainly would have not done the ministry that he would have done. He would have stayed home and taken care of his mother. But nowhere in the kingdom of God are we called, are we given the ability to abdicate the call of God on our life. The call of God on our life comes first. Jesus explains to us in Luke chapter 14, verses 25 through 27. Listen, he says this: large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and turning to them, listen, these are the words of Jesus. Jesus says this: if anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. See, Jesus made it very, very clear. He even demonstrated honor code when he made sure his mother was taken care of. But he did not allow his own cultural honor code to override honor within the kingdom of God. And that honor in the kingdom of God, first and foremost, is due to God, our Father in heaven. Man, I can tell I'm preaching right where we're living because you guys are so excited today. See, there is a difference between honor in the kingdom of God and honor in our own culture. Yet Jesus taught us this balance in our own lives of how we live out honor. Our first honor is to God. Our first honor is to God. That's the place where you amen. Our first honor is to lay down our lives. Jesus said, even your own life. Without question, honor is a part of the culture of the kingdom of God. But we cannot allow our earthly cultural responsibilities to get us off track from honoring God first. However, when we honor God first, he sets us in a position to create a culture of honor within our homes. Let me say it better this way. When we are trying to create an honor, a culture of honor within our homes, based on the culture of man, that culture of honor will always fail. But when we create a culture of honor in our home, based on the culture of the kingdom of God, that culture of honor will be successful. The Bible teaches us about what culture in our homes will look like. It's found in Ephesians chapter 5 and Ephesians chapter 6. I'm going to read quite a bit of scripture to you today because I want you to see this and really understand it. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 through 33 says this: wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands, as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which He is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one has ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for their body just as Christ does the church, for we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. The conversation doesn't stop there. It actually keeps going about family dynamics and relationships and honors in the home as it moves into chapter 6. I'm going to keep reading in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Paul starts this discourse on relationships and relational dynamics in chapter 4, talking about the ways in which practical ways in which Christians should live their lives. We've explored that earlier passage, Ephesians chapter 4, in this series before, and you can go back and listen to the earlier messages and see where we talked about that. He goes on here and he gives these further instructions in chapter 5 and 6, more specifically talking about the family itself and talking about family dynamics. He gives instructions to children, to wives and husbands, outlining what a culture of honor should look like in our homes. He gives very specific instructions. The problem is, these passages have been used in error for many, many years to subjugate and abuse people because we have approached them through our own cultural lenses rather than through the lenses of the Word of God. We have approached these subjects, we have approached these passages as gotcha passages where we say, look here, wife, look here, child, look here, husband, and we've approached them by putting our own understanding through the lenses of the cultures that we have raised in or the homes that we were raised in instead of allowing Scripture to speak for itself. And therefore, we create these antagonistic relationships and we use the Bible to beat each other up rather than allowing these passages to create the culture in the home that God desires to create. The key to this whole passage, and thus the key to a culture of honor, is found the way that Paul frames relationships. You see, the lens of relationships that Paul is creating for fathers and mothers and children are very, very simple. He challenges his readers, just like we are being challenged today, to adjust our lenses. The key to the culture of honor is viewing others through the lens of God. In other words, I look at my wife and I view her the way that God views her. I look at my children and I view them not as someone to control, not as someone who's going to grow up and pay for my retirement someday. Hello? I view my spouse the way that God views my spouse. I view my children the way that God views my children. I've told you this story before, right after Desiree and I got engaged. I'll never forget. Desiree and I are passionate people. If you've been around us much, you know that. And with great passion comes the opportunity for great conflict. And right after we got engaged, that great passion that was a part of our courting process turned into an opportunity for great conflict. Because now we're stuck with each other. And it's like, you know, you were shopping for the car, right? You were looking at it. Everything looks good. You're kicking the tires. It looks awesome. They've shined up the tires. But then when you put a down payment on that thing, then you start looking a little closer, right? Right? And I was so mad at her one night, and I was thinking, oh my goodness, what have I got myself into? And I'm praying, because I'm so spiritual, I'm praying, God, you got to change her, man. She's doing this and this and this, and this isn't right. And Lord, the Bible says she's supposed to submit to me. She's hard-headed and she's not listening. And the Holy Spirit is like, hold up. Wait a minute. Long before she was your girlfriend, long before she was your fiance, long before she was the apple of your eye, and long before she was meant to be your wife, she was my daughter. And she was created in my image. And I've got a plan. I've got a plan for her life, and buddy, it's bigger than you. That's the truth. It's bigger than you. Yes, she's a blessing to you. Yes, I've created you to be each other's helpmate. But you're not her God. I am. Well, that was popular. You're not her God. I am. You didn't create her. I did. I have a purpose and a plan that is bigger than you. And it's not your job to control that or make it happen. It's your job to be a blessing and to help her. And if you want to start pointing to Bible verses, then you look at that verse of scripture in Ephesians. It says, when you love her the way that I love the church, then you can expect her to honor you the way the church honors me. And so until you're willing to lay down your life for her, until I see you sacrificing everything for her, don't you dare come talk to me again about whether or not she's honoring you. It was nice to be set straight early. I can't tell you that that's always solved all of our problems, but I can tell you this. What I learned is that if I'm going to view Desiree as I view Desiree, I view her as God views her, created wonderfully in his image, as a person who has a purpose and a destiny and a plan. And it's in his hands and it's not in my hands. Notice Paul told wives to submit to husbands as to the Lord. He said, wives, as to the Lord, submit yourselves. Notice this. He said, children, obey your parents as the Lord, right? Then he doubles down on the pressure, just as he did for me that night. And he said, husbands, you have to view your wives the way the Lord views the church. The way he loves her and sacrifices and gives up everything for her, totally and completely sacrificing himself. And he says, parents, your responsibility is to raise up your children as unto the Lord. You see, I establish a culture of honor in my home when I choose to view the other person the way that God sees them. To unlock the culture code of the kingdom of God in our homes. Not only do we have to change our lenses, not only do we have to choose to view the other person the way the Lord views them, but we also have to do what biblical honor does. You see, biblical honor, according to what we read there in the book of Ephesians, honor acknowledges the inherent value of the other person. Wives, submit to your husbands as unto the Lord. Children, obey your parents as unto the Lord. Husbands, serve your wives as unto the Lord, as the bride of Christ, as the apple of God's eye, as the most significant and important thing that He leveraged everything to redeem. Children, serve your kids so that they're brought up in the Lord. We acknowledge the inherent value of the other person. Everyone, get this, everyone has a place, and every place has great value. See, many of us view honor through the culture of hierarchy. We even read these books, we even read these passages in Ephesians through the culture of hierarchy. We read it from a hierarchical view. We say, oh, so husbands are on top, wives are underneath, and then children. And so everybody in the home better get in their place. You better behave the way you're supposed to behave through a view of hierarchy. And yet in the kingdom of God, Jesus demonstrated to us that hierarchy is turned upside down. Man, this is good preaching. Hierarchy is turned upside down in the kingdom of God. And so our entire cultural perspective of honor is blown up, because in the kingdom of God, what is least is made the most important. And so our cultural perspective of honor through the lens of hierarchy doesn't work in the kingdom of God. Instead, what we have to do is we have to say, in our culture of honor in the kingdom of God, we acknowledge each other's place, not as a matter of hierarchy, but as a matter of inherent value. Everyone is important, everyone is valuable, and in fact, the least among us, the weakest among us, gets the greatest honor. I just don't think I'm doing a very good job today. In the kingdom of God, as you understand the kingdom of God, what it consistently teaches, Jesus himself said, those unseemly parts of the body, those ugly parts of the body that we all ignore, the Bible says that those get the most honor, always in the kingdom of God. It's never an issue of hierarchy, it's an issue of value. And what the Bible is teaching us in Ephesians chapter 5 and 6 is that we all have a place in the family, and that what makes a culture of honor work in the family is when all of us value each of our parts. Look at what Paul says. He says, children, your parents represent God to you. He says, wives, your husband sits in the place of lordship in the home. And he says, husband, your wife is the thing in this world that you are supposed to sacrifice everything for. Jesus did so much, did this so much so that he totally abandoned his place, or stepped out of his place in heaven and came to earth to sacrifice the greatest thing so that his bride, so that the church could be birthed and born. The Bible says, parents, you have to leverage everything. You have to leverage everything for the healthy spiritual development of your family. You see, honor only works when we acknowledge that everyone has a place and every place has great value. It only works when we are looking at others through the lens of God. And when we are looking at others and saying, I know that they have value, and their value is more, or their value is equal to my value. I'm not above them. They are not less than me. We simply have different places. I'm not above them. They're not less than me. We simply have different places. See, honor only works when we commit ourselves to serve the other person. You see, when you read Ephesians 5 and 6, the way those passages are tied together, is it's held together. Only when each part of the body, each part of the family, each part of the relationship are committed to serving one another. Paul commanded each member of the family to serve the needs of the other member of the family. Honor works in an atmosphere of reciprocity. Everyone say the word reciprocity. It's a fun word. I love that word. Reciprocity. Say it again. I'm just trying to make sure you are awake today or not mad at me. I don't know what's going on. Reciprocity. An honor, a culture of honor will only work where there is reciprocity. Now, reciprocity is a fun word to say, but I want you to understand what it means. It does not mean keeping score. It does not mean you scratch my back and I'll scratch yours. It doesn't mean I'll wash the dishes if you cook dinner. That's not what reciprocity means. Reciprocity doesn't mean this idea that you and I are keeping score in our relationship and I'll only do this for you if you do this for me. And that's the extreme end of this mentality. People will say, well, marriage is give and take. It really is give and take, but it's not scorekeeping. If it comes from a heart of give and take, if it comes from a heart of scorekeeping, it's going to break down. Reciprocity is a culture in which because we love each other, because we esteem one another, because we acknowledge one another's inherent values, we are committed to serving each other. And as we serve each other, everyone's needs are met. It means that there is an ebb and flow in our mutually submitted relationship. It means that there is an ebb and flow in how we serve one another. It means that we are so committed to the common good of our relationship, and we are so committed to the common good of one another that I serve your needs and you serve my needs, and as we both serve the Lord. Notice the balance of this passage of scripture is as we serve the Lord. It only works in the context in which we are serving the Lord. In other words, as I serve my wife, I'm serving the Lord. As my wife serves me, she's serving the Lord. As we serve the Lord together, we will meet each other's needs. The problem is in our homes where we're more committed to getting our own personal needs met than we're committed to serving the Lord, then there becomes this imbalance, there becomes this scorekeeping, there becomes this give and take idea, and things get out of alignment, and therefore our relationships break down. In Matthew chapter 20, verses 25 through 28, the Bible says this: Jesus called them together. And he said, know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Once again, the kingdom of God is turned upside down. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus, once again, was calling his followers to a higher ethic beyond their own culture. Just as we preached last week, Jesus called us to a higher sexual ethic. Jesus is also calling us to a higher relational ethic. He's calling us to a higher ethic of honor, a biblical ethic of honor. He says, my followers won't use their power to position themselves in the first seat. A culture of biblical honor is not one in which the person with the highest rank in the room demands their own way. You are not a man of honor if you think your right is to tell everybody what to do and everyone is supposed to serve you. That's not honor. That's the mentality of the Gentiles. You are not a woman of honor if you think that you're the queen and everyone in your home has to bow down and do whatever you want to do, and you use your sexuality or you use your approval or you use your emotional support as leverage to manipulate and control everyone in your home. That's not honor. That's the way of the Gentile. It's not a culture of honor, kid, to say I'm the apple of mom and dad's eye. And if they really love me, they're going to do whatever I want them to do. And they're going to give me whatever they want, whatever I want. That's not a culture of honor. That's the culture of the Gentiles. That's the culture of those who are not in the kingdom of God. True person of honor doesn't push for their rights or privileges. They give up their position to serve the other person. But in a household, our relationship dominated by a culture of reciprocity. What I say is that I'm going to serve you and you're going to serve me so that both of our needs are met. Honor is not about hierarchy. It's not about getting what belongs to me. It's not about giving what's coming to me. Honor is about serving. Honor is about sacrifice. Honor is about acknowledging the other person's inherent worth and value and recognizing that everyone has a place and every place is important. I'm going to ask you to stand with me all across this place this morning as you're standing. Single people, I haven't picked on you this whole series. But I want to say something to you today. This message, the one that I shared today, so valuable, so important to you. As you are in a courting, if God has put it in your heart to be married someday, as you're in that courting relationship, there's a reason the Bible teaches us to not be unequally yoked. Sir, ma'am, can I tell you something? There's no such thing as missionary dating. There's no such thing as missionary dating. Young lady, if he is not a man of honor right now while you're dating, I guarantee you he's not going to be a man of honor when you get married. Sir, if she is not a woman of honor right now when you're courting, she is not going to be a woman of honor just because you put a ring on it. Your dating life has to be submitted to the Lord. And in your dating life, please allow me as your pastor to say this to you today. In your dating life, allow the words of Paul to echo in your ear. Allow them to settle into your heart. Find a person of honor. Find a person of honor. Find a person who's living out biblical honor. Observe the way they treat other people. When you're in the car park and that attendant comes up, observe the way he treats the parking attendant. When you're at the restaurant, observe the way he treats the waitress. When you're in the store, sir, observe the way she treats the people who are waiting on her. See, here's the thing about honor and the culture of honor. It's who you are in your relationships every day. Do you put other people first? Do you acknowledge them as created in the image of God and realize that everyone has a place and every place is valuable? It's not about hierarchy. It's about the kingdom.
Thanks for listening to this message from North Place Church, Durban. Feel free to duplicate or share this message. We meet every Sunday at 9:30 a.m. at 10 Meridian Drive, Amschlanger Ridge.